It's really good to be here. Really good to see everybody. This is kind of my first family service since I started my new role as kids and youth coordinator. And it has been a roller coaster. It has been amazing. I'm really excited about what God is doing. And this is just kind of just a snippet of it. If you were here at 7 p.m. a while ago, we baptized 12 young people as well. God is really doing. And what David is sharing, it's so that we can keep that going. We want to see that going. We want to see it grow as well. We want to see more. So are you up for it? I'm up for it. Let's see what God will do if we place everything in his hands. This morning, I have titled this morning, Goodbye Perfect, and I will explain what I mean. But could everybody say goodbye perfect? And I will explain as we go on. But part of my job is I get to go around lots of schools doing assemblies. As a team, we've been in over 20 schools, being able to share the gospel, being able to share the good news. We have done our lifeguards, our Healthy Heart program, in 15 schools this year, which is a six-week program with about 1,500 kids. We've just seen God open up doors we never thought he would. We've been in behavior units in special needs schools, and God has been so good. And again, we want to see that keep going. But as part of my assemblies, I love to sing. And if when I was doing this assembly in schools this term, I was singing this song by Sam Smith called Too Good a Goodbyes, and then a song by Ed Sheeran called Perfect. So if you know those songs, you can start singing them in your head, and it might help you remember what I'm chatting about this morning. But the verses that we're looking at and the Bible reading this morning touches on this thing called the Esau syndrome, and it's in Hebrews 12, verses 16 to 17. And it says, watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But by then, it was too late, tears or no tears. Watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. I think a lot of us can maybe relate to this, or have seen other people trading away long-term goals just for a short-term appetite. And this is what we're going to chat about a wee bit. And somehow, sometimes, actually, it's our goals are the problem. Maybe it's our expectations. But we'll touch on it a wee bit. Before we do that, Jacob and Esau were twins. Now, Esau was the older twin. He was born first, which meant he had this inheritance. And Jacob, well, he wanted it. Esau was a hunter. He was his dad's favorite, so he was always out hunting. Jacob was his mom's favorite, so he was always at home with his mom, cooking and doing housework. And he had hatched a plan because he knew that Esau was impulsive. He knew that he could get the better of him if he caught him at a weak moment. So one day, Esau was out hunting, and yeah, he wasn't very good at keeping track of time, making sure he ate every few hours. So he came home, and he was ravenous. And Jacob had prepared the most beautiful bowl of stew. He walked through the door and was like, oh yes, get in my belly. And he thought, I want some of that. But Jacob knew that he could use this moment to bribe him a wee bit. And he says, well, Esau, I will give you this stew if you give me your birthright, if you trade me your inheritance. The thing that's rightfully yours, I want. And Esau thought about it, long-term goal, short-term hunger, and he traded his birthright for a bowl of stew. What a weirdo. But if you think about it, sometimes we do that as well. Esau was short-sighted. He always just saw the here and now, and he didn't think about tomorrow. He made a permanent decision based on temporary feelings. And again, how often can we do that? If you think about the prodigal son, well, it was a New Testament version of this as well, because the prodigal son, he just wanted his inheritance now. He went and blew it, and he ended up eating pig food, and he had to come home to his father. But remember, his father had his arms open for him. He had grace, and the grace that the father gives us when we come to him, when we come home. But really what Esau thought, he was thinking about what he wanted instead of what he needed. Long term, of course, his inheritance was a much better option. But he just thought about what he wanted. He wanted that stew here and now. But God has called us not to be short-sighted, but to walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith, not by sight. Not by what you see on the news or what you see around you, but to actually tap into what God is doing. And that as a team is what we've tried to do this year. Because we can be, so often we are slaves to fear. We sing that song, No Longer Slaves. But also, we're slaves to your feelings. It's just like, why did you do that? Well, because I felt like it. So we're doing what we want instead of what we need to do. We trade a long-term goal to satisfy short-term hunger. But sometimes it can be related to the fact that we have unhealthy expectations, which can come from unrealistic goals. And if you think about this saying, something that we might say without thinking all the time, practice makes perfect. I've shared with this with you before, but actually we like to cross out perfect because the perfect is the thing that's creating the unhealthy expectations and the unrealistic goals. So actually, not everybody can be the best, but everybody can be their best. We can all make progress. And we shouldn't make the Christian walk a competition either. Actually, we should all be journeying together and trying to be the best us. If you think the perfect family exists, well, you'll never appreciate what you have. If you think the perfect school exists, well, again, you'll never appreciate where God has planted you. If you think the perfect keeper exists, well, you'd be very disappointed the other week, wouldn't you? But what about the perfect eyebrows? You'll be walking around a lot saying, what are those? And as a youth worker, I do maybe think that a lot, but I don't say it because I don't want to hurt people's feelings. But if you think about the best footballers in the world, some people might say they're the perfect footballer, but the perfect footballer would obviously, well, he would complete every pass. He would score every shot. He would complete every tackle. Every stat would be 100%. But these guys don't have those stats. Because they're not perfect footballers, but they're the best that they can be. But they can keep getting better. They can keep making progress. But humanly speaking, as humans, perfection is just opinion because we're always trying to meet a standard that has been set by a human. When we think of God's standard, well, we believe God is perfect. So none of us are perfect, but God is. And he sent Jesus, who never sinned. I love this by Albert Einstein. He says, everybody is a genius. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're a genius. Turn to the person on the other side and say, I'm a genius. And then face this way again. But it says, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. If you judge a fish by the wrong standard, and sometimes we are judging ourselves by the wrong standard. We're judging ourselves by human standard instead of God's standard. And we think of kids growing up thinking they have no place in this world. It's because we're judging them by the wrong standard. Like this fish. Fish aren't meant to climb trees. They're meant to swim. And I saw this, The Greatest Showman. I'm not going to lie. I saw it 5 times in the cinema. And you might think I have too much time on my hands. I don't. I just really like the film. But before, I would be a big fan of Internet Movie Database, and I would never have given a film 10 out of 10 because I thought, well, the perfect film doesn't exist, so 10 out of 10 would be rubbish. And then God has been speaking to me about this stuff, and I thought, well, actually, I thought it was pretty amazing. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10. But this is one of those films, I hate when people get their phone out in the cinema because it blinds you, and you're like, oh, they're so annoying, okay? But this is one of those moments when I had to because when P.T. Barnum, played by Hugh Jackman, or James Corden calls him Huge Jackman, he said this. He said, what is one of the hurdles? He didn't say this bit. Okay, what is one of the hurdles to making progress? Well, it's this. He says, comfort is the enemy of progress. It's our need for comfort that stops us moving forward. It's our need to look like this bear. Because our true north is comfort, okay? We think, and that sometimes that can make us lazy. We're developing a comic book at the minute, and we've invented these characters called the Lazy Beasts. And it says they came from outer space, and only healthy habits will stop them. This need for comfort is always something that's going to be there. We have to keep making the choice not to be comfortable, because a comfort zone is beautiful, physically, emotionally, spiritually, but nothing ever grows there. Nothing ever grows in your comfort zone except fear. Except fear. And if you want to grow, well, it's going to be uncomfortable because growth and change Well, it's uncomfortable. If you think of teething, I'm sure you're glad you have teeth, but it wasn't comfortable when they were growing. I'm sure you're glad you didn't stay as tall as a baby, and that was uncomfortable. You had growing pains. It's the same for us physically, emotionally, and spiritually now, whatever age we are. It's uncomfortable, but it's worth it when you're becoming the best you. Ecclesiastes 11:4. Everybody say Ecclesiastes. Some people are more enthusiastic, but that's okay. It says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Some of us are waiting for perfect. We're waiting for the perfect church or the perfect family. It doesn't exist. We have to go for it and make the best of what God has given us, because if we just wait, we will never plant. If we watch every cloud, we will never harvest as Christians. So stop waiting for Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect and turn to Jesus, who was perfect, who did reach God's standard, because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us meet that standard except Jesus. And if we want to have a relationship with God, that's why we need to know Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. None of us can meet it. And we should try our best, but it's through a relationship with Jesus and knowing that we will make mistakes, because God values connection above perfection, and he showed that when he sent Jesus. He wants connection with each of us. He wants connection with you. But we have to decide that we want connection as well. Spiritual maturity is measured in terms of persevering faith, not perfect behavior. God wants connection with us, but he also wants us to mature in our faith, whatever age. I was so impressed by Samara and Kaylee maturely just declaring their faith there. It was inspiring. And what Caitlin did to pray for Millie, well, that was really mature. As a six-year-old Christian, some of us probably wouldn't do that. We'd be like, well, I'll pray for you. But we won't just do it there and then. Maturity is measured in terms of persevering faith, not perfect behavior. And I want to tell you this morning, God loves the current version of you. Yeah, he does love you the way you are, but he wants you to be the best version of you. And that's why he will keep at you. That's why he'll make you feel uncomfortable when things are being chatted about here that are challenging you. You don't need to feel comfortable in church. I don't want to feel comfortable in church all the time. I want to be challenged. I want to be the best me. And we need to remember that we're all works in progress. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're a work in progress. Turn to the person on the other side and say, I'm a work in progress. And just as we come to a close, I love what Stephen Furtick says. He says, make peace with your weaknesses, knowing that God's love and calling don't depend on your perfection. They don't depend on your perfection. So I want everybody to say, goodbye, perfect. And hello, progress. And as I finish, I want to read these verses out from Romans 12, which chat about some of this stuff. And if you want, you can close your eyes and just say, God, yes, I want this for my life. Or you can read them into yourself as well. But it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And God, through his Holy Spirit, will be challenging each of us on what that means for us. What does maturity mean that you need to work on? And I would challenge you, start. Start today. Come for prayer if you need it. If you haven't been baptized, come and speak to one of us and say, I want to be baptized. If you haven't been confirmed, do that as well. But really, if you haven't started giving, well, yeah, this is a challenge for you as well. Does maturity mean that you need to start tithing instead of just giving God what's left over? I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do his work and speak to you as well. But I'm going to pray just as we continue in our service. Let's just close our eyes. If you want to hold your hands out saying, yeah, God, I do want this, then you can do that. But God, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for Jesus, who was perfect with your standard. He never sinned. And I pray that we would remember that we're works in progress, but I pray that we wouldn't just take comfort in that, but we would keep trying to be the best us. When we get it wrong, I pray that we will know that you have new mercies for us every day. And I pray that we would keep persevering and keep maturing into the Christians that you've called us to be, to blossom where we've been planted and not just despise where we are because it's not perfect. We pray you be with us. Help us to live this out in Jesus' name.